Well, I'll invite you to take your Bibles out and find once again Philippians chapter 4. As I mentioned just a few minutes ago, this is going to be our passage for this morning, and specifically verses 4 through 7. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. And as you're finding that, I read through this letter again earlier this week. We spoke from it. Primarily chapter 1 last week, and I just was struck with the fact that this letter is very pertinent and applicable to the time that we're walking through right now. So I wanted to spend another week in it, and especially this paragraph, which I think has a lot to say to us in how we respond to uncertain times and unstable times, and how would God direct us in a time like this to be responding and to be thinking through what's happening, regardless of how everything will turn out with the spread of COVID-19 and that, and Lord willing, and of course what we're all praying for is that within a matter of weeks or maybe a couple months, this will be history to us. This will be something we talk about that happened before, and we return to normalcy. But life is unstable and uncertain, and I hope even as we looked at that last week and we learned that, that all of our life is like this. We don't know what's going to come, so we need to know what the Word of God says to us in times like this. So let's read Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. As always, then I'll pray and ask God to bless the time in His Word as we study this. And I'll go on from there. So Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything. But in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father, now we've come to the point in our worship where we are directing our attention to your word and specifically to teaching and preaching. And I pray now for the gift to do that. And I pray that everyone listening would be able to concentrate on what you're saying to us right now and how you would instruct us in these times and in the future times of our lives, the uncertain, unstable, trying times that are going to be a part and parcel of our existence here in this world until you return, Lord Jesus. So I pray now that you would help us and that you would guide us and produce within us your joy and your peace for the glory of your name. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So you'll recall, as Paul was writing this letter to the Philippian church, he was in an uncertain time himself. He was imprisoned in Rome, awaiting trial, and he wasn't quite sure how it was going to pan out. And more precisely, actually, Paul was under house arrest. And so many of us now are beginning to sympathize with that to a degree. But he was uncertain whether or not he was going to be released. He thought he was going to be. He thought that's the way the Lord was going to make that time for him turn out, and that he would be able to go on more proclaiming the gospel. And of course, that is what history tells us did exactly happen. He was released, but he wasn't for sure. We talked a little bit about that last week, and the Philippian believers themselves were in a certain time of uncertainty. They were beginning to experience the same kinds of sufferings that Paul was. That is, they were being persecuted for their faith in Jesus and for the proclamation of the gospel. And for believers in the first century, when that would happen to them, it was very uncertain. They could lose income, they could lose their lives, they could lose their freedom. They weren't sure how this was all going to pan out since they were following Christ and beginning to experience that kind of uncertainty. Of course, now we're in a time of uncertainty, as we talked about and as we all know. And uncertainty and instability in our lives can lead to anxiety, fear, depression, hopelessness. We don't like it when we don't know how things are going to turn out. We don't like it when there are frightening things happening or things that could happen to us or loved ones that could be harmful. And we're afraid of that. It creates within us these feelings of anxiety and hopelessness. But let me say this first. Even after having read that, the passage here in Philippians 4, and I hope you were able to see it, this fact, God's people are to be a people of peace. God's people are to be a people of peace and stability in and through uncertain times. God wants us to have peace even in the midst of unpeaceful times, even in the midst of turbulent times. As a matter of fact, Jesus, on the night before he was crucified and he had his disciples there in the upper room and was teaching them some things, he said to them, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." He says, I'm going to leave you now with my peace. The world will give you a certain kind of peace, but that's not the peace I'm offering to you. The kind of peace that the world offers to you is situational. It is very much dependent on the circumstances and what is happening. That's the kind of peace the world tries to offer. And what we find in a time like this is that type of peace gets taken away from us. We don't have it anymore. But the kind of peace that God wants his people to have, the kind of peace that Jesus offers, is a peace that surpasses, as we read in Philippians 4, surpasses understanding. It's honestly the kind of peace that doesn't make sense in the circumstances that you're facing. This is a peace that only comes from Jesus Christ that he gives to his disciples. So we need to catch that from the beginning. No matter what is happening around us, God's people are a people of peace. That is an inner calmness and tranquility and confidence and courage in God. Christian, he wants you to have peace. Do you have peace? I think many of us, I was even standing here this morning earlier thinking about it, we're filled with much more anxiety probably than we think. Not just at this time that we're walking through, but a lot of times. I think there is often times when we don't have the peace that God wants us to have in our hearts. And so it's good that we can pause and even think about that and ask ourselves, do I have the peace that Jesus offers to me? Do I have that confidence, that faith in my heart where it's a place of calmness and peace because I'm trusting in the Lord who loves me and is and cares for me and is going to see me through the various times of my life? Do I have the kind of peace that comes from God? Well, that's what Paul's helping us with here. He wants us to have the peace of God, verse 7, that surpasses all understanding, guarding our hearts and minds in Christ. And so let's see how we attain that kind of peace. And let me make this observation too, before we move on into the particulars of this passage. The Word of God is designed by God to minister to us and to speak to us and to walk us through the various seasons of our lives. It is sufficient. We talk about the sufficiency of Scripture in all things. Scripture is sufficient for us in a time like this. What we should be doing in a time like this is looking to the Word of God and letting Him speak to us in how we respond to it. So if we're battling anxiety and we're battling fear of the unknown, we know, based on what we're reading here, that God has information for us that we need to know and things that we can do to walk through those times. God has designed the Bible to be used in all the areas and aspects and relationships and times and seasons of our lives. So are you using the Word of God to guide you through this time? Psalm 119, 105, verse 105 says this, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Think of the picture there. As you're walking through even a dark time, what is the light that's shining and illuminating the path? That light, of course, is the light of God's word. And so often we turn to so many other sources of information, so many other sources of ways to think through what's happening in our lives, and our last resort is to God's Word. That should not be the case. We need to make a habit of using God's Word in the various times in our lives, and let me say this too, especially in seasons like this, but not exclusively, but especially in seasons like this, be in the Word of God. And some of you providentially by God are in a time of slowdown. You're not going to work. You're not doing many other things. You ultimately have time to act like a pastor right now and spend a lot of your time during the day in His Word, meditating on it in some way or another, or listen to messages from the Word of God. Do things to be filling your mind with God's Word. If you are struggling right now with anxiety or depression, you need to turn to God's Word and let Him speak to you through it. So what does the Bible teach us about uncertain times? What does Paul teach us here in chapter 4, verses 4 through 7, about how to deal with this anxiety? Well, let me show you the first command I want to draw your attention to is in verse 6. I think this is the heart of the whole passage, the heart of the paragraph, and the main command. Look at what he says in verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything. Do not be anxious about anything. In other words, stop worrying. Stop worrying is the command. When we talk about that word anxiety, I think we all know what it means. It means to have an anxious concern based on apprehension about possible danger or misfortune, to be worried about something. And this, of course, increases in times like this that we're in, because we think of all the different scenarios and how this could play out, both physically for us and also financially and for our loved ones, and we think about what could happen and what's going to happen and all of the what-ifs, and it creates within us this anxious concern. And yet Paul gives a very clear command to the Philippian believers who, remember, could be at that time very tempted to be concerned about the persecution that's intensifying against them. Or the Apostle Paul himself, who could have experienced the temptation to be anxious and worried and fearful about his upcoming trial and how that could all pan out. And the clear command that comes from Paul, that is ultimately coming from God to us as His people, is this: stop worrying. Be anxious for nothing. It's like what Jesus said, and we read it earlier, "Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." There needs to be this definitive stopping of all of that mulling over and chewing on the anxiety. And notice something about this command. It's an all-encompassing command. He makes that clear. Do not be anxious about anything. Friends, anything includes everything. So there's nothing for which you and I have permission to continue down the path of anxiety. We're just not allowed to do it. It's an all-encompassing command. Do not be anxious about anything. Now, I know what you're thinking right now. Well, how do I do that? Well, that's what we're going to answer in this text in just a few moments. But what I want is that clear command, which, like I said, I think is the heart of this passage, to hit home to us right now. The answer or solution to anything going on in our lives or any of the troubling circumstances is not to be anxious. It is to stop being anxious, to not be anxious about anything. Clear command of Scripture. Now, some people say that anxiety, based on this text, then anxiety itself is a sin. Well, I want to just pause here and make mention of this. I do think the continuation in anxiety is sin. But when we feel the anxiety at first in troubling circumstances, I don't want us to become so paranoid about the way we're feeling with that that we're compounding the situation by now worrying about how we're sinning in our anxiety. I think if we were to be more precise in the idea of anxiety is that it itself isn't necessarily yet the sin, but more the temptation to sin. Because anxiety can lead, if left unchecked, anxiety can lead to faithless fear. And it can lead to a plethora of other kinds of sins itself. So anxiety itself, when it first sets on and when it actually, as you're walking through troubling circumstances, it can reemerge throughout a day or a week or whatever time period you're walking through something. That first onset of anxiety, I don't want us to be thinking of it in terms of sin. But to disobey this command of Scripture, that is this command, be anxious for nothing, or stop being anxious. To disobey that and continue in the anxiety without any assault upon that anxiety, any kind of battling that anxiety with the Word of God and what He's commanding, I do believe is a sin. So if we are constantly and perpetually walking in anxiety and fear, and we are not confronting that anxiety, we are not attacking that anxiety by the Spirit of God and with the Word of God, then I think we have fallen into faithless fear. And that we need to battle. So how do we do that? And let me draw out this principle here before we look at a couple more of the commands. Anxiety can either drive you away from the Lord or to the Lord. Anxiety can either drive you away from the Lord or to the Lord. Here, Paul is clearly propelling you to the Lord in times of anxiety. But sadly, is it not the case? We can be driven from the Lord with anxiety. We refuse to pray. Maybe we fall into the faithless fear. Maybe we get angry at God. We throw spiritual temper tantrums. We run around trying to fix the situation that we're in or take control ourselves. But I think the main point that we need to see here is this. In times of anxiety, we turn to the Lord and not away from Him so that He can provide for us the peace that He promises to us. And notice this principle as well. And I'm going to draw this out, and we'll look at the rest of the commands here. This principle. The Bible treats anxiety as a spiritual issue. The Bible treats anxiety as a spiritual issue. So the solutions it gives are spiritual in nature. They're spiritual solutions to spiritual issues like anxiety. You will not find here the treatment for anxiety that you'll find from the world. Now, I recognize that anxiety can be somewhat of a medical condition for some, and that there comes times and seasons where it is wise to prescribe a person battling with extreme forms of anxiety medicine that helps get their mind under control, their emotions under control. But Christian, understand this. That when the Bible speaks about anxiety, it speaks about it in terms of a spiritual issue to be confronted by God's people primarily with spiritual means, spiritual answers, spiritual solutions. That ultimately with anxiety, barring any kind of medical condition or chemical imbalance, that the primary issue behind anxiety is a lack of faith in God. A lack of turning to Him and receiving from Him everything we need to deal with it. So these are spiritual solutions to a spiritual problem. We need to address anxiety for what it is, a spiritual issue needing spiritual solutions. It's a battle between fear and faith. So how do we do that? He tells us to stop being anxious or to not be anxious about anything. How are we to do that? What should we do? Well, here's the next command I want us to look at, and that's in verse 4. The first thing we need to do is we need to rejoice in the Lord. Look at what he says, rejoice in the Lord always. Now, I know what you're thinking if you listened last week. You're thinking, wait a minute, that was one of your points last week, and it violates preaching rules to use the same point 2 weeks in a row. But I don't think it does, and I think actually what Paul is doing in verse 4 is leading into this issue of anxiety. And not only that, but he says this, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I will say rejoice. So I'm telling you that the first step in this is in this battle for peace, in this battle against anxiety, is to find our joy in the Lord at all times, to rejoice in Him. As a matter of fact, he says in chapter 3, verse 1, finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord, and to write the same things to you is no trouble to me and is safe for you. It's safe for you and no trouble for me to tell you that we need to rejoice in the Lord at all times, to find our joy in Him, that He must be the source and the center of our supreme joy. It is true that God is good to us and He gives us things in this world that we are allowed to enjoy. He gives us relationships and He gives us, supplies our needs and our food, and we have plenty of things that He has given us in His creation to enjoy. And all of those things are good things. But the simple fact of the matter is, if and when all those things or some of those things are taken from us, we should still have a continuous joy, because ultimately now, our eternal joy can't be set on those things. It must be in the Lord Himself, the unchangeable God, the unchangeable source of all our joy. No matter what changes is around us, He doesn't. He hasn't. And He has to be the source of our joy. And sometimes I think what trials do for us is expose things in our lives that may be very good things, but that we have placed too much enjoyment in them, and they have clouded out the true source of our joy, of our delight, which is God Himself. So oftentimes the anxiety, and I need you to really analyze your heart in that this week, that the source of our anxiety comes in that we're afraid to lose the things we enjoy, the things God has given us. And yet we look to the example of the Apostle Paul, who had all things of his enjoyment taken from him. And he is the one writing a letter and repeats it over and over again, saying, Philippian believer, and to you and to me, find your ultimate joy in the Lord. Then when all of these things are taken away, you'll still have this permeating joy through it all. Because ultimately the source of our joy, our true enjoyment, needs to be Him. Friends, do you enjoy the Lord? Do you enjoy Him? Do you delight in Him? When you think about Him and when you pray to Him, when you read about Him, when you hear about Him, all of His attributes, who He is and what He's done, do you delight in Him? Do you enjoy Him? Do you enjoy time with Him? Oftentimes when we lose our joy in the Lord, it becomes obvious to us. We lose our delight in His Word. We no longer really want to read it. It doesn't affect us in our hearts and minds anymore. We don't delight in it like we should. Sometimes we lose our delight in the Lord, and the first thing we want to do is look at Facebook or turn on the TV instead of what maybe we used to do, which is go meet with the Lord privately and open up the Word and let Him speak to us through it and be praying to Him. When we lose our true joy in the Lord, we no longer want to come to church and worship with His people or be around His people. And sometimes, guys, it can be sinful things that cloud out our joy. Sometimes it's other things that cloud out our joy, or the loss of circumstances or whatever it is. But what we need to do is be a people who are continually turning to the Lord to find our delight in Him. And friends, if you've lost your joy, and it happens to all of us, it happens to lead preaching pastors in a church, you lose your enjoyment of the Lord, Lord, the answer to that is to turn back to Him, to confess your joylessness, and to plead with Him to return to you, just as David prayed in Psalm 51, restore to me the joy of your salvation. Watch Him come through as you again begin to delight in the one who has saved you, who has given you eternal life, who loves you and cares for you. Friends, He is a gracious and merciful and forgiving God. And when you pray to Him for joy in Him, He will provide that for you. I'm confident of it. So rejoice in the Lord. The next command, look at verse 5, be reasonable. Be reasonable. Look at the way Paul put it. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. It's a very interesting word here for reasonable. The idea behind it is gentle or forbearing. Gentle or forbearing. And I think, though, that it can have some other nuances, as our ESV translators have caught on to in their connection of this, especially in the present passage in translating it, reasonableness. You know, for one thing, in times of stress and worrying and anxiety, one of the sins it can produce in us is irritability and anger. I don't know if you've ever been really stressed. I'm sure you have. We've all been stressed at times in our lives. And you go around your family, even your loved ones, and in that time of stress that it's weighing on your mind, in that time of anxiety, you can be very quick then to respond with irritability, to respond with anger, lash out at even the ones that you love the most in this world. And Paul says, let your gentleness, let your reasonableness be known to everyone. We're to be a gentle and meek and gracious and patient and forbearing and loving and kind people. Remember what we learned last week. In these times, the church has the opportunity to shine brightly, to represent the Lord well, especially in times of crisis. And one way we can do that is to let our gentleness be known to everyone. But I also think an understanding of this idea of reasonableness, let your reasonableness be known to everyone, is that we as Christians are to be a people who in these times keep our cool. We keep a certain level of calmness even when everybody else around us is not. It's because we know who the Lord is, it's because we trust in the Lord, that then from us our reasonableness, even in a situation that is very chaotic and scary, can be known to everyone. There's a difference in our demeanor. There's a difference in our speech about the situation. There's a difference in our response to the situation. Paul wants that difference to be seen by everyone. To see that we respond not with faithless fear, but with courage and calmness and meekness. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy verse 7 of chapter 1, he said, for God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Timothy was in a real tough spot as he was pastoring over the church there in Ephesus. And he was beginning, we think, to cave under the pressure, and he was beginning to exhibit timidity and a holding back. And Paul says, that spirit does not come from God. And friends, I think even in a time like this, if you begin to experience anxiety and fear, remind yourself of this, that those feelings, they're not coming from God. That anxiety, that fear is not something He's putting within you. He has given you, me, us, the spirit of power and love and self-control, a sound mind, so that we are a people who react meekly, patiently, forbearingly, reasonably in the most chaotic of times. Let your reasonableness be seen by everyone. Let us be known by our calmness in a situation that would tend to promote non-calmness, to promote chaos, and yet the people of God are standing firm in the Lord. Then we will represent Him well. And the next command, remember, verse 5, that the Lord is with us. Remind yourself that the Lord is with you. Look at how Paul puts it. He says, let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. The Lord is near. That's another way of putting it. I think what Paul is reminding people in uncertain times is of this fact that we need to preach to ourselves all the time, is that is of the promised presence of God. That God is always with us. The Lord is near us. As a matter of fact, if we go further into theology with this, He is in us, indwelling us through His Holy Spirit. We think about the attribute of God, His omnipresence. That is, He is everywhere present in His fullness at all times. In Him we live and move and have our being. So there is nothing you're going to encounter this week, friend. There's no place you're going to go. There's no time period you're going to be in where the Lord is not right there with you. It's always the promised presence of God that is the fuel and motivation for His people to not be afraid and to not be anxious. Did you know that? Even way back in the Old Testament, Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, I think I have a slide for this. He says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed. Well, why? What basis do I have to not be frightened and to not be dismayed and to be courageous? What basis do I have? Well, he says right here, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. The Lord your God is with you. See, it's always the promised presence of God that helps us battle anxiety in uncertain times and helps us to be courageous and strong. Isaiah 41:10, the Lord said to His people, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. There He is again. Don't be afraid, my people. Why? Because I'm with you. My promised presence, my power, I'll supply to you. I'm going to help you through whatever happens. And the psalmist knew this, of course, in Psalm 23, verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The sheep need not be afraid because they can see the shepherd, even though they're in the valley of the shadow of death. They need not fear the evil because they can see the shepherd. He is with them. Friends, whatever is going to happen to you, know this. The Lord will be there with you in it and through it. He promises that. And it's on the basis of that promise, the promised presence of our God with us, that we are commanded not to fear. We are commanded not to be anxious. That's why Paul puts it that way. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything. Start it with that. The Lord is at hand. Therefore, do not be anxious about anything. You know, some of the last words that Jesus said to His disciples, in Matthew 28, verse 20, He said this, behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. You know, I've always thought the translation on this is curious. That word always is literally all the days. Every single day, Jesus is saying, now go make disciples and baptize them and teach them. He's already warned them, you're going to suffer tribulation and persecution. There's going to be hard times and trials and tests. But know this, all those days, the good and the bad, I am with you. It's the promised presence of our Lord that should bolster our courage, should wash away our anxiety as we contemplate that. He is in this with us. When you start to feel anxiety coming on, you need to preach this to yourself. God is here. God is in this moment. God is in this place. God is dwelling within me. He has promised to never leave me nor forsake me. He has promised to strengthen me and uphold me. He's going to bring me through this. And even if this results in my death, He will be there all the way through it, holding my hand and give me that entrance into His eternal kingdom. Friends, when we preach to ourselves things like this, I can assure you that anxiety will flood away and courage will be built up within us to face whatever the Lord has in mind for us. It's always the promised presence of the Lord in and through every situation that will help us in our battle against anxiety and fear. And finally, friends, verses 6 and 7, how do we fight for this peace? How do we fight against anxiety? And I would summarize it with one word from verses 6 and 7. We pray. We pray. Remember what I said? Anxiety will drive you away from the Lord or to Him. And Paul's propelling you to the Lord to pray to Him. Listen, he says, do not be anxious about anything. And notice the next word, but. Instead of that, in place of your anxiousness and you're constantly rolling these scenarios through your mind, instead of that, do this. Turn to the Lord, and in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Pray to Him. Go to Him. Why is it so often in all of our lives, myself included, why is it so often that prayer is our last resort? We go to everyone else. We may call friends. We may do all this, talk to other people, try to fix the situations ourselves, make lists, things, everything we try to do. And the last resort when we're battling anxiety is to turn to the Lord in prayer. I grew up with the song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Many of you are familiar with it. And I love the lines in there. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Isn't this true? We forfeit the peace He promises. We just turn it over in place of anxiety and fear and worry when He's offering to us peace. And we do that because we don't carry everything to God in prayer. We are to be praying, the Bible tells us, at all times, in all circumstances, always in a state of prayer to the Lord and a constant putting on of Him the burdens that we're bearing and carrying so that we do not forfeit our peace, because when we fail to follow the instructions, that's exactly what happens. The songwriter goes on to say, have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. He says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer. And then this next word, I'll draw it out, and supplication. That's a word we don't use very often. Originally, I had the idea of begging, coming to someone empty-handed and begging something of them. It's a type of prayer that is asked with urgency based on presumed need. And I think the idea is this: we go to God powerless with nothing to offer. The situation is out of our hands. We can't control it at all. We need Him to come through. And if He doesn't, yes, we're in trouble. But we come to Him empty-handed. We say, Lord, we need Your help. I need Your help. Help me. Care for me. Supply my needs. Strengthen me. Empower me. Heal me. Whatever it is. We go to the Lord with prayer and supplication. That's what He wants. And we don't want to forget about the thanksgiving, right? But in everything by prayer and supplication, while you're praying, do it with thanksgiving. Don't forget to praise Him and thank Him no matter what is happening. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, friends, I think a good habit when we come to the Lord in prayer, even in times of urgency, even in times of burden, and we're praying to the Lord as we're supposed to do here, and we're fighting against anxiety, and we're pursuing peace, is to pray throughout it thanksgiving for the gospel. You know, friends, There's something powerful in that when we thank God for loving us enough, us sinners who had broken his laws, deserved eternal punishment, and yet what has he done? He sent his son in love to live a perfect life on our behalf, to go to the cross and pay the consequences and the punishment for all of our sins, to die, to be raised again and intercede for us right now, to praise him for the eternal life we receive from Jesus, the forgiveness of all our sins, all of the positive promises in his word now attributed to us, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places because of what God has done for us in Christ. Boy, you start listing those out no matter what's happening in your life and you praise him for that, friends. I think you're going to find your joy in him. I think it's going to cause your anxiety to diminish, to be thankful to God, and even in the times of trial, to thank him for what he's doing with you. Do you remember what he's doing? We read it this morning from James. He's working very good spiritual things in you. He's growing you in Christ's likeness and building within you endurance, godly character, hope. He's doing that all because of what Jesus has done for us in the gospel. So we can come to him with thanksgiving. And I love this last part. It really struck me the most this morning as I was contemplating this verse again. He says, with thanksgiving, listen to this permission you get here. Let your requests be made known to God. Let your requests, what do you want God to do for you? One of my favorite gospel stories is when Jesus is walking along with his disciples, and of course there's a big band of people following him, and he comes across in Mark's gospel, he comes across blind Bartimaeus. Remember this? And as Jesus was passing by, Bartimaeus cried out, Lord, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Mark records how the first time he cried out, the disciples and others rebuked him and told him to stop crying out. But here was this blind Bartimaeus. He's a nobody. He's a beggar. He's a nuisance. And he's crying out to the important Lord Jesus. And they tell him to be quiet. And that made Bartimaeus cry out even more. Lord Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And the Bible tells us that Jesus stopped. And he commanded that this man be brought to him. And the question he asked him was this: what do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? Friends, that's the heart of our God to us. When your heart is crying out, Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, help me through this situation. Lord, look at what could happen or is happening to me or a loved one. Jesus hears you. Your cries, he is not deaf to your cries. You are not so unimportant that he isn't saying, I got more important things to deal with. He zeroes in on his individual people who are crying out to him. They're coming to him with prayer and supplication, have mercy. His question is, what do you want me to do for you? And friends, you have permission to bring your requests to God. He loves us. He cares for us. Remember Psalm 34, 17 through 19. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted. He saves the crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Do you know what the Bible wants you to know beyond a shadow of a doubt, no matter what is happening? The Lord wants you to know this: when you cry out to me, in all of your weakness, in your empty-handedness, in your fearfulness, and in your anxiety, know this, I hear you. And I listen to you, and I respond to you. You have permission to bring your requests to the King of Kings, to the Lord of Lords, to the Creator of all, the Giver and Sustainer of all life, the Eternal God. Bring your requests to Him. Peter put it this way in 1 Peter 5, verses 6 and 7, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time He may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. What a promise in times like this, that God is interested, very interested in the lives of his people, and hears their cries, gives them permission to come before him and lay their requests at his feet. And friends, look at the promise, verse 7. When we do what God has commanded us to do in our battle against anxiety, listen to the promise, the peace of God, his peace that he gives to us, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. I wonder if some of you have ever experienced this kind of peace, where it surpassed understanding. It didn't make sense in the circumstances, but you knew it came from God. You knew he flooded your mind and heart with a peace you couldn't articulate with words to your friends. But he promised that peace for you. Do you know that's what he wants to do for us? That's what he wants to provide for us. So let's be a people who turn to him in this time. Let's show the world the peace that the world can't offer. Let's show the world the peace that we have found through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, these are your words. These are your promises. They are not mine. They come from you. So help us to be a people who trust in you now and turn to you now. Whoever needs that peace, God, provide it for them. I pray when they turn to you, show them that the promises of your word are true and real, and that you will come through for your people. Let them experience it and feel it for the glory of your name. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.